So, our mission in this series, The Power of Home, is that we would each take time to plug into the source of life, who is Jesus Christ, and take personal responsibility for ourselves and for our families. Last week, we discussed at length the importance of character. Do you remember me talking about character? And hopefully you spent some time applying that in your growth groups. We shared 5 essential character traits, the first one being fearing God, being unafraid of love, functioning in forgiveness, honoring others, and maintaining a growth mindset. That is so crucial in our walk with God and in our relationship with others, that we maintain that growth mindset, that we don't assume, hey, I've got it all figured out and I don't need your input. We definitely need input, and every day is an opportunity to grow. Today, we want to talk about a potential problem for every marriage and every home, and that problem is little foxes. We were driving somewhere the other day, and I saw one on the side of the road, and I'm like, it's so crazy. They're so pretty, and they're so destructive, right? It's unbelievable that something that's that cute, for lack of a better word, can be so unbelievably destructive. But the more research I've done, the more I know that that's the case. So King Solomon points it out in his biblical book on love, and you can find it in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And he writes, "Catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards are in bloom. Our vineyards are in bloom." So this scripture and the book of Song of Solomon can actually be interpreted in 2 different ways. It can be a love song over mankind from God, and it can be a love song between a man and a woman. And I don't think either way is wrong. There's commentators that lean both ways, but I think it has a dual meaning, as lots of things in the Bible do. So today, I want to specifically talk about the foxes in the vineyards of marriage, but you may also be thinking about the foxes in the vineyards of your love relationship with God. There's definitely multiple application points to this message. So Solomon said, "Catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards are in bloom." And so we actually have some news footage from this morning. So you'll turn your attention.
The king and his bride are not leaving anything to chance today after it was discovered that their world-renowned vineyard was under threat. The royal vineyard, famous for its quality of fruit around the world, is not under threat for lack of water or sunshine, but from a pesky little fox known to cause injury to crops wherever it is introduced. The little foxes are nocturnal, which means they sleep during the day. They also dig holes for themselves under the earth, often around a place abiding with its favorite food. Hence, they have made themselves right at home at the Royal Vineyard this spring. With these little foxes prying around, the vineyard's tender grapes are in danger of being eaten, thus destroying the whole crop this season. Experts also believe the whole vineyard is in danger from these foxes, pointing out that the foxes' burrows under the root system of the vine are making the whole vine weak. The tender grapes, failing to get the required nourishment at the most critical stage of growth. These dangers have caused Solomon's bride to declare, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." Back to you.
Special report there. Big hand, Pastor Rob. I always tell him, I love it when he participates in my crazy. that's the definition of our relationship, him participating in my crazy. I thought, though, that article had such good points in it about the dangers of foxes and the ways that they destroy a vineyard. And I didn't know a lot of that information, because when I read this before, I was kind of like, okay, well, how much damage can a fox do? But we obviously saw there was quite a bit of damage that foxes can do. In fact, in Australia, foxes are accountable for over $200 million in crop damage every year. Isn't that nuts? Little foxes can cause big problems. And if that's true in a vineyard or in an agricultural setting, it's also true within our marriage. So what are these little foxes? Little foxes are the small things that enter into a marriage, and if undealt with, will reap destruction. So typically, we don't start out with little foxes in our marriage, right? It's just a man and a woman, and they're making a commitment together. We start out on a honeymoon, right? And honeymoon, that phrase literally means a sweet month together. And I think it's an apt name for it because just like the cycle of the moon waxes and wanes, so does that first month or so of marriage, that excitement and joy and just deliriousness with one another, it waxes and wanes as well. And as the honeymoon wanes in your marriage, that's when the foxes start to sneak in. See, there's a day when you wake up with your spouse or you come home from work and you're just not quite as excited about this person as you were when you first made the commitment. You don't have to nudge anyone or avoid eye contact. I just know that that's how it works. We're not quite as excited as we were at first. But Solomon here is warning us against that waning. He knows that that happens. He's letting us know that there are foxes, cunning and sneaky forces working hard to do damage in our marriage and in our homes. Picture with me, if you will, a vineyard in bloom. A vineyard in bloom is full of beautiful sights and sounds and scents and so much promise, right? When Rob and I went to Portugal about 4 years ago, the home that we rented was right on the edge of a vineyard. And one of my very favorite memory with Rob was the afternoon we decided to take a walk through the vineyard. It was spring, and it was blooming, and there were just little buds of grapes on the vine, and the whole vineyard was just saturated in warm Portugal sun, and it was just a perfect, perfect moment, a perfect day, a perfect place. And to this day, when I'm having a bad day, that's where I go in my mind to try to, you know, recharge and reconnect. But when you look at a vineyard, there's so much promise at the beginning of the season, right? You know that beautiful things can come from that vineyard if it's carefully tended. There's promise of fruit. There's promise of wine. There's promise of producing something that will only sweeten and deepen with age. There's a promise of a lasting resource for the generation that follows, because wine can stand for a long time. So all of this promise is true of a vineyard, but it's also true of a marriage. A new marriage is bursting with that amount of promise. Isn't that the expectation that we had as we walked down the aisle to meet our spouse, or you waited at the front of the church to marry your spouse? Didn't we have that level of expectation that life is going to be full and sweet and good and lasting? In fact, there's so much promise when we get married that Satan, the enemy of our souls, can't stand it. He hates love. He's like the Grinch of marriages. He does not want to see this succeed. He does not want us to taste the fruit of the vine and protect it and watch it grow and flourish with age and maturity. He's very much opposed to all of that. He can't stand by and let love grow into maturity unhindered. And so what does he do? He sends in the foxes. Cue the foxes, right? Little foxes at first, maybe even slightly cute ones that seem harmless, right? That's what he starts out with. Little foxes that trample tender vines. They eat that new and budding fruit so it'll never come to full bloom and full fruition. They burrow around the vines and they destroy the root systems. Today's message is extremely practical. Our goal is to identify the little foxes so that we can eradicate them while they are still catchable. Husbands and wives, we need to realize that catching the foxes is a team effort. We talked about with the red cards and the green cards. We're on a team with our spouse. We're on a team with our family, and we need to do this together. Now, I have never gone out and caught foxes. I have tried to catch cats, though. And cats are much more easily caught if there's two people doing the chasing, right? Same thing is true with the marriage foxes. We need to work together Otherwise, we will be outfoxed. We've got to be open and honest in dealing with these foxes. Hiding them, playing with them, ignoring them completely will only produce more damage in our marriages. Why is that? Because well-fed foxes grow, right? They can grow into giant, genetically mutated foxes. Has anybody seen Rampage? Let me give you a little clip. Yeah, Rampage. Incoming! I threw that in there just for the guys. But that's a pretty healthy representation of what happens when we just ignore the foxes in our marriage. If they grow out of hand, they can destroy us. They can leave our home in a burning heap of rubble, just like that helicopter was. So well-fed foxes can morph into giant, genetically mutated foxes. And yes, I realize that was a wolf, but it got the point across. They can morph into these giant foxes that will take down your marriage and your family. So in his book, The Power of Home, Ted Cunningham listed 20 potential marital foxes. And I know, 20, that sounds like a lot, but we're just going to fly through the list really quick this morning. I want to tell you that just listing off these foxes is not going to catch them and throw them out of your vineyard. This is just a list. It's just to bring your attention to. Do I need to switch to another mic? Okay, just keep jumping in and out. So listing them is only going to make you aware of the issue so that you and your spouse can go home and identify them and deal with them. I want you to listen to these foxes like you're getting ready to board a plane. Anymore, whenever we go on a plane, we have to go through security first, right? And security kind of runs a ray over it and beeps if there's a problem. And so I just want you, as these 20 foxes go by, I want them to run through the security gate of your brain and your marriage and go, yeah, that one beeps, that one's not a deal. You know, I want you to identify them in your own life. Pay attention to your feelings as you listen to this list, and even get out a piece of paper and a pen and jot down any foxes that light up in your heart and mind so that you can address them first in prayer and then in conversation with your spouse. So these little foxes could include, but are not limited to, bad marriage messaging. Pastors and parents and culture can all be guilty of giving us bad marriage messaging, that we just have the wrong ideas about what marriage is meant to look like. We can inadvertently hand out bad advice, or we can live lousy examples. There are great Christian marital resources out there, like we talked about, familylife.com. That's a great one. Pastor Rob and I have a slew of books and resources that we'd be happy to help connect you with. If this is an area that you want to grow in, it's an easy area to grow in. Another fox can be children. We love our kids. As we've mentioned before, though, our marriages cannot afford to be kid-centered homes. What kids need most is a mom and dad who love each other, a grandma and a grandpa who are still crazy about each other. Parents can be a fox in our marriage. Over-involved in-laws have burrowed into many still developing vines. Newlyweds need to leave and cleave. It's interesting that God establishes this in Genesis 2:24 at the very first marriage ceremony. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but there weren't even any in-laws at that marriage ceremony. They didn't even exist. But God's going, there's going to be a problem here. In-laws are going to step into the picture and mess with the vines. And so I need to give them instruction right here at the very first marriage that they need to step away and let these kids grow up together. If you're an in-law, it's time for us to back off and let grown children fend for themselves. Another fox is that of family and friends. There are voices in our lives, people that speak to us, and quite frankly, some of those voices need to be turned down. because they're simply not helpful, because they don't love your spouse, or they don't love your marriage, or they don't love their own marriage. Do not take marital advice from the husband or wife basher, right? Don't take marital advice from your still single friends. They're still single. They don't know what it's like to be married yet. Look for folks who have been successful in marriage and tune into them. And I don't mean look for folks that have been married for 5 years. Oh, you guys have made it. Good job. I mean look for people that have been married 50 years and still can stand to be in the same room as each other. That's who you need to go find out marital advice from. Let them be the loudest voices in your life. Turn up those voices. Social media is another fox. Social media is well on its way to becoming a rampage-sized fox, isn't it? I mean, it's just such a big piece of our lives anymore. We come home at night from work and we want to disconnect from the demands of the world and engage with our family. At least that's what we're meant to do. But social media is slowly, subtly stealing our time with our most important people. We're prone to distraction, to laziness, and to disinterest in our real physical world, all the while we're comparing it with the fake, glossy one that we find online. Husbands and wives, moms and dads need to discuss healthy parameters for social media, how to handle our time and our attention with it, how to guard against the lure of the opposite sex. I know that more marriages have been destroyed when an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend has instant message through the backside of Facebook or Instagram. We need to be on our guard with social media. Another potential fox is that of past relationships. Unresolved hurt, fear, anger, resentment, bitterness, all of those things can attempt to sabotage our marriages today. We may take our experiences with others and project them on our spouse. We've got to learn to guard against that by dealing with those past hurts, getting them out in the open, acknowledging that they happened, and working through them. And then ask God to heal us and to give us a healthy perspective with our spouse. Another fox is temptation. First of all, we need to remember that temptation is not sin. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Temptation itself is not sin. Everybody is tempted. If you are alive today and there's breath in your lungs and you are going to eat at some point today, you're going to be tempted. That's just part of being alive. Even Jesus was tempted, and it's included in Scripture multiple times so that we are aware of it, that we realize that even perfect people, the perfect person, was tempted. So shall we be. Couples need to establish financial, sexual, and relational boundaries and accountability with those boundaries to avoid the pain and the consequences of sin. If you never talk about it, you don't have any kind of a boundary to work with it, to talk about it. You know, you gotta plan how you're gonna discuss these things and what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. Make sure you're on the same page. You guys know husbands and wives come from different lands and we speak different languages. It may be all English, but what he says doesn't mean the same thing as what she says. Right? And so you've got to be able to talk about those things, talk about the expected boundaries, and be ready to rein it back in if there's a breach in those boundaries. Another fox that can attack our marriages is the look out for number one attitude, or the me first attitude. Pride and selfishness will lead to manipulation, and manipulation destroys oneness, because it's one person's ego or needs overriding and directing the other person's needs. I said it already this morning, but Pastor Rob had said it before, when a husband and a wife compete, the family loses. If there's anything you keep from this morning, I hope it's that. When a husband and a wife compete, the family loses. You want to see your family win. God wants to see your family win. There is no room for selfishness and marriage. A great tool to help you in overcoming selfishness is that of fasting, of that discipline. Establishing discipline in your life in one area will lead to discipline in other areas as well, because it's like a muscle that you build up. Money is another fox. There are many, many, many fights about money. And I remember reading somewhere, it's probably been about 15 years ago, but that half of all marriages that end, money is one of the cited reasons. It is a big factor in marriages. My dad always said, money's only a problem if you don't have enough. And I agree with him, he's right. But in our experience, most of our marriage, we hadn't had enough, you know? And the problem is that rarely do we get to a point where it's enough and we go, hey, it's enough, we're good now. You know, we always want more. That greed can set in. Greed can really rot out a marriage, and that rot starts in the form of debt. Debt puts a heavy burden on a couple, puts a huge strain on a relationship. It turns every small emergency or event into a crisis and into a major, major deal. So we need to keep that in mind, that we should avoid debt whenever possible, and that we can't take any of this with us. So why borrow against our future for it? Because we're not even sure what the future is going to look like. If you need help in the area of money and managing your money, Dave Ramsey has great, great input on it, life-changing input. We went through Dave Ramsey, I want to say 10 or 12 years ago. It was actually while the Hurricane Ike blew over our home. We were in the middle of Dave Ramsey, and that was life-changing for us. We've never gone without an emergency fund again. And you know what? When you have an emergency fund, you have less emergencies. That's all there is to it. And that was an area that we continually hit heads over, and we rarely, I don't want to say never, but so, so rarely hit heads over money anymore. There's great resources out there. Another fox is the American dream. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, how can that possibly be a bad thing? But too often we spend too much time chasing possessions or trying to keep up with the Joneses. I feel so bad for the Joneses. They get such a terrible rap. But we try to keep up with our neighbor. Our neighbors next door, Rob's and mine, just got a new car. And I was like, oh, they got a new car. Man, it's been a long time since we had a new car. And I'm like, Anna, what are you doing? Ignore it and move on. You know, your minivan is awesome. Just go with that, you know? But that's what happens. We see our neighbors get something and we get tempted. You know, if they hadn't gone and bought a new car, I wouldn't be tempted at all, right? We shouldn't be chasing those possessions or those positions or even that status. We should be chasing God. Matthew 6:33, we say the scripture all the time here, but I'm sure you know it, and I still am trying to plug it into my own life, so I assume you are as well. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you chase God, you won't go hungry. If you chase God, he's going to take care of your family. It may look different than how you would take care of your family, but you're still going to be taken care of. The typical American marriage is actually quite shallow. So if we're chasing the American dream, we're chasing a mud puddle when God wants us to be chasing the oceans. As children of God, we can dream of a much deeper and more beautiful relationship than the typical American dream. Another little fox that will sneak its way into your living room or onto your computer is eHarmony.com or Match.com commercials. These commercials give us room to fantasize about falling in love with the perfect one, right? And you're like, wait, this didn't even exist when I got married. You mean I did this all wrong? We can really get twisted up by that. They give us the sense that there's someone out there who's a better fit than the one by our side. They foster discontentment, which is never helpful in our relationship with God or with our relationship with others. Remember that compatibility, we talked about this last week, compatibility comes from character that's cultivated over the long haul. The spouse that you've had 20 years is a way better fit for you than anyone you're going to meet on the internet. Bad counseling is another little fox that can enter in the marriage. Remember that not all counseling is created equal. Bad counseling dishonors marriage, and marriage was God's idea, so we've got to remember that it's important to him. Healthy counseling builds up a marriage and invites God into that healing process. Age and attitude is another fox that we've talked about before. We concentrate with age. Sour folks only get more bitter, and sweet folks get sweeter. And growing folks continue growing, which is one of the reasons we talk about that all of the time here, that we want to be growing in Christ. We have got to continually watch our attitude as we age, because attitude is everything. And in marriages, we can fall into these ruts. The way that we've interacted with each other at the beginning can get way exploited over time. You know, when the pilgrims were, not the pilgrims, I'm sorry, when the people were crossing the United States, when they were moving west and they were in the wagon trains, the ruts that formed at the beginning of their journey, at the beginning of spring, were still there in the fall. And if we're not careful and we're not mindful in our marriages, the same thing will happen. If we build bad ruts in the beginning of the relationship, we're going to have a really hard time breaking out of those ruts. It can be done, though. It can be done with God's help. And so if you're years into your marriage going, I got some bad ruts, ask God to help you rebuild that road in your marriage, and ask him to give you wisdom and patience and love for your spouse as you work together to build new ways to relate to one another. So we have to watch our attitude as we age, because attitude is everything. Another fox is statistics and research. How many of you heard that half of all marriages end in divorce? Right? We have all heard that. And you go into marriage going, gee, I hope I'm not the other half. You know, we can let that statistic and that research scare us off. It keep us from committing or give us an easy out. Well, I guess half didn't work, so I'm done. You know, we can't let that shape who we are. We're God's people, and he's put us together. What God's put together, let no one set us under, right? Pray and trust God to keep you in that married half. Our theology is that we love and serve a God who does miracles every single day. Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing is impossible with God." In case you wonder about the context of that scripture, it was spoken over Elizabeth, who was 90-something, and God was promising her a baby. If God can open up a dead womb, he can heal a dead marriage. He absolutely can, and we just have to have the faith to believe that he can. I think that the family might be God's favorite place to perform a miracle. And today's miracle might as well be your marriage. Believe that he's able. Another fox is that of duty and responsibility. Duty and responsibility. I know that you all know about this. Paying bills, working a job, maintaining a house. Oh my word, why did we decide to be homeowners? So much work, right? Raising kids, another, what were we thinking? So much work involved in raising little people into big people. But we can't neglect our marriage amidst this, because there'll become a vacuum of intimacy where it's just all sucked out and all our time and energy is spent on things that won't last. If we neglect our marriage, it will start to die. But if we invest in it, it will grow. We can actually take these mundane daily things, the dishes, going to the grocery store, changing the oil in the car, all of these things, we can take them and add interest and value to them by pursuing our spouse amidst them. Hey, I gotta get groceries. Wanna go with me? Raise an eyebrow? He's in, you know? You can take those boring details and turn them into something special by doing them with your spouse or pursuing them amidst it. We do this by creating enough margin in our lives to keep the spark fresh and the relationship on fire. You have margin in your life. Everybody does. You may think you don't, but I encourage you to start keeping track of how many times a day you touch your phone. You have margin. If you reached out for your spouse as often as you reach out for your phone, I bet it would be a different relationship. There's opportunity in your life to pursue your spouse and to pursue your marriage. Last week I mentioned the 15-minute chairs, that you would set two chairs somewhere in your house and make a goal every day to spend 15 minutes in side-by-side conversation with your spouse. They say that 15 focused minutes a day is enough in your marriage to keep your spark going. I'll tell you something that Pastor Rob and I have been doing, and that is that we've started praying in bed before we fall asleep. And we take turns, and it started out short prayers, and it's gotten longer and longer, and to a point that we've been going to bed earlier and earlier. Like, that's what's been happening. And so that's enough, not only for us to connect with each other, but to connect with God in honestly the most sacred space in our home. So I encourage you to make margin to connect with your spouse. Unemployment. We were talking about love, now we're talking about unemployment. Unemployment is another fox that we can struggle with. There are a lot of reasons that people aren't working, and I'm not trying to minimize that all, but make sure that laziness is not the reason. Amen. Laziness is a character issue, and honestly, one that we're going to come back to in our series in a week or two. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 says, "If a man will not work, he will not eat." And I believe that applies to ladies too. We all have a part to play, and we need to play it. We may have to work the wrong job until the right job comes along to feed our family, to take care of our people. Ministry and serving can be another fox. And this is one that, as a pastor, I don't really enjoy mentioning, but it's still true. It's hard to believe that a church fox might dig up the marital vineyards, but we can find ourselves too committed. If our ministry is out shouting our family, we're in danger. Checking our lives against our priorities helps us make this adjustment. You know, they say you can tell what's important to you by checking your calendar and checking your checkbook. That's a sure sign of what's precious to you. Trials are another fox. We will face hardship. Jesus told us that in John 16:13, in this world we will have trouble. And we learn throughout the New Testament that trouble and trials are a vehicle to produce perseverance and character in us. So we don't even want to reject trial and trouble. We want to accept them and the refinement that happens through that. Paul tells us that trials produce character, and James tells us that there's joy to be found in trials, because they're not intended for our destruction, but for our refinement. God uses trials to make us more into the image of Christ. And in those trials, we can team up with our spouse rather than against them, or try to face those trials alone. Some of the coolest memories I have with Pastor Rob are times that we were up against insurmountable odds, and together we fought through. I think of my parents' home and going through that. He was there by my side. He was working 18 hours a day with me for 6 days, cleaning out that. We did that together. I can't take solo credit for that. If he had just left it to me, I'd probably still be there crying in a pool of dust and everything else. Dust and rust, actually, probably. But we can face those trials together, and we can triumph together. And it's so much more fun to get on the other side of a trial and be able to high five or hug or whatever else you want to do with your spouse to say, "Hey, we made it through. Praise God. He's been faithful to us and through us again." Boredom is another fox that can sneak into your marriage. Marriage is meant to be enjoyable. Solomon reminded us of this in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 7 through 9. He says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of your meaningless life. Solomon knew that life is hard, that work is hard, that we face trials and sickness and bad days and bills and all of it. And he's like, but hey, enjoying your wife amidst it, enjoying your husband amidst it, makes it better. Spouses are meant to help us break up the monotony of life. And life together is meant to be more fun. And the last fox I want to bring up is the grind. The grind. every day, get into the grind, right? You just make it through another day. Oh, it's Monday. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, we got to just push through, right? Is at least that's how it feels sometimes. Life is difficult. We know this in Genesis 3:21. It says, "So the Lord banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he'd been taken." We know that we're going to have to work hard, and we know that we're going to feel ground down from time to time, right? We've all felt that. And when that happens, we pull close to our teammate, not our opponent, but our teammate. We have enough opposition in life. There are enough things that are hard. We don't need to add to it at home. So these 20 foxes, if left to their own devices, they can and will destroy a vineyard. But if we will work with our spouse as a team, if we will have the courage to lay that green card down and speak life and speak love and offer to be a help and a blessing to them, if we will do that, we can take out the foxes. We can build fences around our vineyards, and we can let love flourish and reproduce as it was intended. I want you to be encouraged this morning. Sometimes we get married and we go, this just did not work out the way I thought it was going to. This is a whole lot more work. I didn't realize that they were so-and-so. We talked about last week, you know, the person we are married to, choosing to love that person that you discover that you're married to. The thing is that vineyards don't produce much in the first year or two. Actually, anything in the first year or two. In fact, viticulturists, that's the big word for people who tend vineyards, they say that you need to wait a good 5 to 7 years before there's any revenue flow from a vineyard. But here's the kicker. A well-maintained vineyard can flourish for 50 to 100 years. Isn't that encouraging? Our marriages are going to take so much effort at the onset. And quite honestly, they're going to take continued effort throughout the years. You're going to have to keep plugging in and working at it and tending it and chasing off foxes from here until death. But they're worth the investment because what they produce will be celebrated for decades to come. The children, the grandchildren, the lives that your marriage can influence, we'll be celebrating what you committed to with each other for decades to come. So let's commit to guard that investment. Like Solomon said, catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. At this point, I've asked Pastor Rob to come and close us in prayer.
God, thank you so much for this time that we can be together, that we can hear this message. I just lift up our marriages, Lord, that are represented here, even those that might be watching on TV or online. God, I pray that even if there's one blip, even if there's just only one of these little issues, these little foxes that popped up on our radar, I pray that you would just bring communication, bring healing to the husbands and wives that are represented. God, I pray that you would work through the hard thing of even communicating and working through the issues that are presented through these little foxes. God, I thank you that you have a plan, that you have a hope, that you have a future, a bright future for every marriage, for every person within the sound of my voice. God, it's not to punish us or to keep us under your thumb, and we shouldn't live in fear, but we can live victorious. We can live in hope that you have that bright future for us, not just in heaven, which is true, but even for today, for tomorrow, for the rest of our lives. It doesn't mean that we won't have an ounce of trouble, but when we're with our spouse, we can have a great marriage. For those that have yet to be married, they can have a great marriage. God, I pray that you'd help us to be sensitive to your spirit and let us do, again, the hard work of catching these little foxes, because we do believe that they will, if uncaught, grow and be wreaking havoc on our marriages that are meant to be safe places and beautiful places for you to grow your character in each marital spouse. So God, I pray for your blessing now as these couples go from this place. I pray that you would just bring hope, bring restoration, bring a plan of action, and just bring love and communication as these couples work out these issues. Thank you so much for it. Holy Spirit, have your way in each one of us. Let us come back together again Wednesday or next week and be able to share with maybe even our growth groups about the progress that we've made in our marriages this week. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.